Welcome to the Cowie Baptist Church podcast. To learn more about Cowie, including our gathering times, visit us online at cowie.church. Enjoy the message.
Good morning. It's all right, I've got this left over from the staff meeting. Come on. So you might wonder, what's that in your hand? That might be the question that you are asking this morning, right? And that really is the question of the day. As much as I wanted to call this sermon all kinds of different things, the title really today is, what's that in your hand? And you know, the last song that we have sung today was a reminder that our God never fails, right? That he's never failed and that he will never fail. And, you know, I think about that. I sing that. I believe that. And somehow in between that and when we walk out of these doors, we can find a gap in really that belief. And a lot of times we really find that gap in who we are. We say, you know what, God, I believe God can do a lot of things, and I believe God can do anything, but he's probably going to have to use somebody else, right? Because I know who I am. I know the things. I know my weaknesses. I know all those things, right? Maybe we resonate together in that. And what happens a lot of times is we begin to make excuses, right? We almost don't even realize it. You know, I was thinking about excuses this week, and I've got a little definition that I think kind of sums them up, right? That it's a defense that we give for why we didn't do what we should have. We recognize that, right? There's times that we didn't do what we should have. Maybe you're a young person in here, and you've heard your parents ask you a question they already know the answer to. Like, did you empty the kitty litter, or did you clean your room, or did you make your bed, or whatever those things are? And a lot of times we have some reason. That's what an excuse is, right? This defense or this reason that we didn't do what we were supposed to do, what we should have done. Maybe it's a reason that we did something that we shouldn't have, right? Maybe we've gotten in trouble. Some of you have seen the blue lights flashing in your rear view, right? And you've known. Like, man, it's a bad day. I've had that happen, maybe. And so, yeah, I don't know how many people have had some speeding tickets, right? Yeah, I don't know. And excuses, I don't know that they work. I've heard some ladies say that tears work. So I don't know that us guys should try that. It's not going to work for us. They're going to give us an extra ticket for not being a man, right? It's just how that works, right? But I was talking to some of our law enforcement officers, and I was like, hey, you got any great excuses? And he said, well, you know, the speeding ticket excuse, the classic speeding ticket excuse is always like, I have to go to the bathroom really bad. I don't know if you've ever shared that. Don't raise your hand, right? This is, I am not the priest. So no, you don't need it. Like, this is just no confession needed right here in this moment, right? Okay. I'm just saying. And so you've got this kind of thing that you're understanding, right? There's this, I've messed up here. I've gotten in a slight problem. And so I had to go to the bathroom really bad, which this one law enforcement officer said, hey, I had to go to the restroom really, really bad after they had just passed the rest stop on the left, right? And so they are in that kind of posture, right? We say those kind of things. Another one, they said, hey, he'd had some drugs that were found on him. He kind of pulled them out of his pants pocket. He said, listen, these pants, they are not, is anybody, can you believe that, right? These pants are not mine, right? These pants are not mine. That happens sometimes, right? Now, you know, we're experts at making excuses, right? Kids, right? Kids do it. Adults do it. We'll start our diet, you know, after this weekend because, you know, it's a special weekend. It's all these things. We have those kind of things, right? And we recognize that these things just come natural to us. We can ask those things. And these excuses aren't new. But what if instead of making these excuses, or what if when we think about the excuses we make when God calls us to something where we say, you know what, I'm not good enough. I'm not smart enough. I don't know all the answers. I can't do those kind of things, right? Somebody else, how many of us have said that, right? Somebody else could do this better than me, right? I've said that. We've all said that. I almost titled this sermon, here am I, Lord, send them, right? Because that's really the answer that we have a lot of times. Maybe we say, you know what, I'll pray about it, but I just don't think so. And we just kind of keep delaying things. And we know that God has revealed to us in his word specific things that we're to do. There's things that are just commandments, right, that we understand. And yet we have these excuses. But what if instead of these excuses that our mind was in a different frame this week? And what if God could use you, even you? What if God could use you? What if, I mean, we think about all these reasons that we're not capable, all these reasons that we can't do it. But what if we, instead of focusing on what we can't do, began to focus on what we believe that God can do? What if your past didn't disqualify you, but that God could even use that hurt, even use that sinful moment that you look back on and wish you could do away with, right, that you're not proud of? What if God could use that for his glory? What if we started believing that God could take and use broken pieces and turn them into masterpieces? What if we believed that? What if our weaknesses were not a barrier for God to work, but maybe an opportunity where his power could be demonstrated in our lives? What if we believed those kind of things? Because that's what the scriptures teach. That's what the scriptures teach about our great God. And when we read the scriptures today, we're going to be in Exodus chapter 4. We pick up in the midst of the story of Moses at the burning bush. Moses has heard this reality and this beautiful picture, right? That the Lord, he says, God says, I have come down, right? He says, I've heard and I've seen and I know the need of my people and I've come down to rescue them. And Moses is excited, right? That's where we were at. Moses is pumped about this. And then he says some things that cause Moses to tremble just a little bit, right? And to start making excuses. He says, I'm sending you. Moses says, who am I? And this is the question that we all ask, right? We know who we are. We say, who am I, Lord, that you would use me? Who am I, Lord? And then God says something to him. He says, it's not about who you are. This was all chapter 3, right? He said, it's about who I am. And he said, because of who I am, it doesn't matter who you are and where you've been and what you've done, in my hands I make all things new, and I can use you for the glory of my name. And so in Exodus chapter 4, we pick up, and Moses hears all those things, and he continues in kind of this mindset of excuses. I want to invite you to stand with me in honor of the reading of God's holy, infallible, inerrant word. We're going to read verses 1 to 17, and then you'll see Isaiah 40, verse 8 on the screen, and we'll say that together. Beginning in verse 1, Scripture says, then Moses said, what if they will not believe me or listen to what I say? For they may say, the Lord has not appeared to you. And the Lord said to him, what is that in your hand? And he said, a staff. Then he said, throw it on the ground. And he threw it on the ground and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from it. But the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand and grasp it by its tail. So he stretched out his hand and caught it, and it became a staff in his hand, that they might believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has appeared to you. The Lord furthermore said to him, now put your hand in your bosom. So he put his hand in his bosom, and when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous like snow. Then he said, put your hand into your bosom again. So he said, put his hand into his bosom again, and when he took it out of his bosom, behold, it was restored like the rest of his flesh. If they will not believe you or heed the witness of the first sign, they may believe the witness of the last sign. But if they will not believe even these two signs or heed what you say, then you shall take some water from the Nile. And the water from the Nile, pour it on the dry ground, and the water which you take from the Nile will become blood on the dry ground. Then Moses said to the Lord, please, Lord, I've never been eloquent, neither recently nor in times past, nor since you have spoken to your servant, for I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. The Lord said to him, who has made man's mouth? Or who makes him mute or deaf or seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now then go, and I, even I, will be with your mouth and teach you what you are to say. But he said, please, Lord, now send the message by whomever you will. Then the anger of the Lord burned against Moses, And he said, is there not your brother Aaron the Levite? I know that he speaks fluently, and moreover, behold, he is coming out to meet you. When he sees you, he will be glad in his heart. You are to speak to him and put words in his mouth, and even I will be with your mouth and his mouth, and I will teach you what you are to do. Moreover, he shall speak for you to the people, and I will be as a mouth for you, and you will be as God to him. Then verse 17, he says, you shall take in your hand this staff, with which you shall perform the signs. Altogether, the grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Let's pray. Lord, we're thankful for your word. God, we pray this morning that you would accomplish what you've sent it forth to do. God, as we look at Moses, Lord, as we look at his responses and as we look at your greatness, God, I pray that you would, God, that you would encourage us and send us on mission. God, that we would see, God, that you can use all things for your glory. God, that you are with us. God, that we belong to you. And Lord, we pray, God, if there's anyone here this morning, God, that has never responded to your grace, God, in just repentance and faith, surrendering their life to you, God, that they could see, Lord, your great love this morning, God, that they would respond in repentance and faith. And Lord, they could become new creatures in you, God, useful for your service. Lord, we love you, we thank you, and we pray that you would bless this time in Jesus' name. And all God's people say, amen. May be seated this morning. Now, you know, when we think about Moses' excuses, we think about these things that he says, I can't say that I would not be thinking some of the same things, right? He asked the question in verse 1, what if they won't believe me? I mean, Moses has gone through a lot, right? He's had a lot happen in his past. He's got a lot of things that are against him in this moment. He says, what if they don't believe me? What if they really don't think that God, that you've appeared to me, right? And the Lord just responds to him and says, what's that in your hand? You know, Moses, he's already heard the voice of God. He's already experienced all these things, and he's doubting himself. He's also really doubting God's ability to work through him. And some of us may recognize that in our own lives. Like we might say, you know what, I believe God can do it, but man, just not through me. Like for some reason, we just don't believe. We believe God's able to do anything, speak this very world into existence. But to use me, to use you, man, we look and God doesn't respond and say, Moses, I mean, and we can look back at our lives and sometimes we can just see how God's worked in these incredible ways to prepare us for these moments. And he doesn't look back and say to Moses and say, Moses, can't you see how I've been preparing every step? Moses, can't you see all these things? He looks at Moses and he asks him this question, right? He says, what's in your hand? He said, what is it? What's that in your hand? And Moses, I can imagine that moment. I mean, Moses is writing this and he's thinking about all these things. And he says, what's that in your hand? He looks and he says, well, it's a stick. It's a staff. And I'm sure it represented a lot of things for Moses, right? He was a shepherd. He had been in this wilderness. He'd been in this place for a season. I'm sure it reminded him of where he had come from. I'm sure it reminded him of all kinds of things. And then God says to Moses, and in this moment, this is where it gets crazy, right? He says to Moses, he says, take that staff and throw it on the ground, which would be the easiest thing Moses does in this whole passage, right? He says, throw it on the ground, and Moses throws it on the ground. And if what happened to Moses happened to that stick, I want you to understand, I'll be out the door, okay? I'm making a pass right through the middle, right? The Red Sea's not the only thing that's parting because it's Exodus story. All right, I'm telling you, this guy's moving if that happens. He says, what's in your hand? Throw it down. And he throws it down, and it turns into a snake, right? In the next verse, like there's this crazy moment. Now, most scholars would say this was a cobra, that this cobra represented, right, the authority of Egypt. And God's going to demonstrate to Moses that he has authority over Egypt, that he has authority over all things. This snake probably represented a lot of things, the staff, about his past, about the mess that he was in, about all those things. And then he's going to tell him, so here's this snake doing its thing, and maybe it's a cobra. I think it was a cobra. It's a snake. It don't matter what it is. It can be anything. Like if it's a snake, I don't care what kind of snake it is. I'm still making the same trail, right? I have no need for that. Now, I know there's some people in here that like to pick them up and, you know, play with them. Maybe have pet snakes and all that. You can keep them. I just don't want any part of those things, right? But then God says, hey, reach down and pick up this snake by its tail. Now, I don't know. I'm not a snake expert, except like all of them. I'm not messing with them, right? But if you pick up snakes, you pick them up by the head, right? That's what I understand. Like you pin them down, you kind of get the head, you kind of get a hold of them. Because if you pick them up by the tail, the other end of that thing will hurt you, right? It's got fangs. It's for real, right? We don't pick up a snake by its tail. I mean, that's just a terrible idea, right? And Moses reaches down and grabs this thing by the tail. I don't know if he reached down fast, if he reached down slow. I don't know what he did. But when he did, immediately this thing turns back into a stick. And I think Moses is like, all right, Lord. I mean, I'm thinking like, if that happens to me, I'm so thankful that the snake thing's over. I'm like, Lord, I'll do anything. Let this thing remain a stick, right? That's what I'm thinking. But here we see this just incredible moment, right? And if that's not enough, Moses is going to get another sign. Like God's going to, if handling this snake wasn't enough to give him some confidence, he's going to say, okay, stick your hand down in your coat right here. Stick it down in your bosom. And so he puts his hand down in it. And when he pulls it back out, it's leprous, right? And this is bad news if you're in this time, right? If you've got leprosy, this is a done deal for you. This is like a death sentence for you. And so Moses' heart rate was probably already just about ready to stop from the snake thing. Then he's got his hand in there. And before his heart stops, God's like, okay, put your hand back in. Puts his hand back in, pulls it back out, and it's whole again. Like, it's in good shape. Moses, I'm thinking in this moment, it's like, okay, God, whatever it is that you need me to do, right? And so God's shown his authority over Egypt. He's shown his authority over nature. He's shown his authority over Moses. Maybe all the fears that he had, the things that he can't control, all these things, right? God is demonstrating his authority. This whole chapter, in so many ways, is about God's authority over Egypt. And ultimately, over Moses, right? And over the fears that he has, over the obstacles that come in him, right? And just as God had authority over Pharaoh and Egypt and all these things, right? He has authority over the things that cause us fear as well, right? We have fear of rejection. We feel like, hey, I'm supposed to go share. I read that I'm to go into all the world and I'm to make disciples and I'm to evangelize and I'm to do all these kind of things. But we're afraid. We're afraid of those people God's put around us. We're afraid of people that maybe are in your school or your workplace, and you think, you know what? They're going to reject me. What if, Moses, this whole thing begins with what if, right? What if they don't believe me? What if they don't? And we have all these what if statements. What if this? What if this doesn't happen? What if that happens? And we get fearful in all those things, right? But what we understand, right, is that Jesus has authority over all things. This leprous hand, this stick, the things that we're afraid of, the future, all these things. And he says, you know, if they don't believe those signs, if they don't believe the snake and the stick, if they don't believe leprous hand that comes back whole, if they don't believe those things, here's another sign. You can take water out of the Nile, and the Nile would have represented the life source for the people of Egypt, right? He says, you can take the water out of the Nile, and when you pour that water on the ground, it's going to turn to blood. And we understand that when we see this, God's letting him know, right, that he has authority over life and death. And Moses is focused on all his fears. He's focused on what if. He's focused on all these things, but he's not focused on the greatness of his God. And God is calling him to trust his authority. God is calling us to trust his authority, to walk in obedience to him. But many times, just like Moses, we are still hesitant. And Moses continues to make excuses. In verse 10, Moses says to the Lord, please, you know, he says, I have never been eloquent. He says, I've never been able to talk, nor recently in times past. He says, nor since you have spoken to your servant, I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. The Lord said to him, who made man's mouth? Who made you, Moses? Who made your mouth? Who gives you words? Who is it that makes him mute or deaf or the seeing blind? He said, is it not I, the Lord? Now then go, and even I will be with your mouth and teach you what you are to say. How many times are we just paralyzed with fear because we don't know what to say? Like, if we're honest, like, we think about all these moments that we have opportunities to speak the name of Jesus, to share just a word from God's word, just how God's working in our life, to share a testimony. Somehow in those moments, right, we think, you know what, I don't know what I'm going to say. And we become paralyzed with fear. We have these moments where we just don't think we know enough. And here's what we got to do, right? What I believe God is wanting Moses to see and wanting us to see is that we've just got to trust God. one of our college students who was walking through Exodus knew that we were walking through this chapter and sent me a message just with this thought that they had made. And I thought it was a cool thought. It says, we have to trust God and believe he is there with us and will give us the words to say. Do we believe that? Like that God is with us, that he will help us, that he will give us words to say. We won't know all the answers. All we are to do is say yes and go. When God says go, so many times we say no. So many times we just, and we mask it in some different excuses. We say things. And ultimately, like, do we really believe what God says? Do we really believe that when he says go, that we're to go? And delayed obedience is disobedience. Because the question is not, are you able? Because the answer to are you able is always no, in your own strength. Are you able? Mm-mm. Am I able? Mm-mm. The answer is not, God, am I able? The question really is will we trust the one who is able? Will we step out and say, God, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to walk in your will. I'm going to respond to your call. And Moses, at the root of everything, right? When we see in the very next verse, verse 13, it reveals some deep things about Moses in these moments. He has these excuses, and there's probably some truth in all those things. But in verse 13, I mean, God said, hey, I'm going to be with you. Then Moses says, hey, I'm not eloquent. He says, listen, I'm going to be with your mouth. I made your mouth. He says, listen to what I'm telling you. I'm going to be with you. And Moses responds and says, please, Lord, now send the message by whomever you will. I mean, the reality is Moses didn't want to go. Moses just did not want to go. This is a fancy way of saying, send somebody else. Here am I, send them, right? Send somebody else. And it wasn't just about fear. It wasn't just about feeling inadequate, right? There's a reality that God calls us to do some things, and we say, you know what, I value my comfort. I value what's important to me. We delay, we procrastinate, we do all those things, right? But listen, God can use us, and we can experience incredible joy when we are willing to take what's in our hands and recognize that what's in our hands has come from him. And not only do we trust him with what's in our hands, but we trust him with us in our hands. And in his hands, God can do incredible things through each of us. Moses was afraid. He was afraid of what was against him. He was afraid of what was in his past. He was afraid about all those things, right? But he was afraid of maybe what was in the future. He was afraid. God didn't answer his fear by making Moses stronger. You know, I think, like, you could say, Moses, let me show you. He didn't make Moses stronger. He demonstrated his strength. He reminded Moses of his strength, of his greatness. He didn't give Moses something new. Like Moses, he said, what's in your hand? Moses didn't say, well, I've been working on this so I could use it to bring you glory. And I got this new thing I've been doing. I've got it just for that. And God didn't look at what was already in Moses' hand and say, you know what? That's all you got, a little stick. Man, I'm going to need to give you something a whole lot better than that. I'm going to need to, you really don't have what you need to do what I've called you to do. And he didn't give him something new. He used what he had. And I think we need that reminder today, right? We read in 1 Peter 1:3. That in God's greatness, right, and in his glory, that he has given us everything required for life and godliness through the knowledge of Jesus, through the knowledge of him who has called us by his own glory and power. And we need the reminder this morning that if you have Jesus, hear me this morning, you may say, you know what, I don't have what it takes, I don't have this. If you have Jesus, you have all you need. You have enough. You have everything that you need. And he has authority over all things. Matthew 28, he says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. And then he says, now go. And we read that and we say, well, send somebody else. Not me. Lord, I know you are great in power. There's no enemy that's too great, no rejection, no fear. We understand that we are not enough. 2 Corinthians 12, we see this word from Paul. He says that Jesus says, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Do we believe that God could take our weakness and demonstrate his strength. We fear the unknown. But Jesus says, I'm going to be with you even into the end of the age. And so the future is not uncertain when it is in the hands of the one who holds everything in his power. Moses, he looked at himself and he saw fear. He saw failure. He saw this inability that's there. But Moses, when God looked at him, he saw a man who he could use. And he could take even what's in his hand and what's in his life and his failures and his past and the messes and all the things, and he could use them to bring him glory. D.L. Moody said it this way. He said that Moses spent 40 years thinking he was somebody, raised, is the prince of Egypt, right? Then he spent 40 years learning he was nobody, shepherding in the wilderness, weary. And then we're going to see as we walk through Exodus, right? He spent the next 40 years seeing how God could use a nobody. God can do great things with a nobody who recognizes who he is and surrenders himself to a great and mighty God. I love to say, I believe with all my heart, God can take a bunch of nobodies, fill them with somebody, and use them to tell everybody. And I think that's what God continues to do in our midst. We make these excuses. We worry about all these things. And God says, I will be with you. I will be with you. And if you're in Christ, his spirit is in you. Romans 8:11 says the same power that rose Jesus from the grave lives in you. That if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, that Jesus on the inside, it changes everything about what's on the outside. It changes everything about what we have in our life. It changes everything in our lives. 2 Timothy 1:7 says God's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Sometimes our fear keeps us paralyzed. Sometimes just being willing to start is the hardest thing to say, you know what? I just believe that what God says is true and that he could use even me, not because of anything good in me, but because of Jesus who is in me. And when we recognize that, we can be emboldened with his spirit to have courage to step forward, to have courage to begin to walk in his grace, courage to speak up, courage to trust that God will do exactly what God says he will do. Some of you may have a little index card you found in a seat or some things that are around, something to write on. I'd encourage you in these moments just to think for just a moment. Three things. You'll see them on the screen. What's one excuse? What's one excuse that you've been making? What is it that's keeping you from serving God? What is it that's keeping you from doing what God is calling you to do? What's one excuse that you've been making that you need to let go of? It may be a limiting belief about yourself where you say, you know what, God, I'm just not good enough. I don't know enough. And we can carry those excuses for so long. What's one excuse that you've been making you need to let go of? Second thing, what's one person that God's placed in your life, somebody who's near to you but far from God? It might be in your workplace. It might be in your school. It might be in a ball team. It might be in some hobby and some activity that you do. But what's one person God has near you? It might be somebody in your family. And man, maybe you look at them and you say, you know what? They're too far gone. They won't listen. Maybe that's the limiting thing that you're saying. What's this excuse, right? They won't listen. They won't believe. They're too far gone. God couldn't do anything with me. What are those things, right? And what's one thing in your hand? What's something in your hand? Something already there, right, that God could use. What's something in your hand? Think about those things. What do you have in your hand? Maybe some of you are saying, I don't know. I don't have that much in my hand. Maybe some of you say, you know what? I got a phone in my hand. I guess I could use that to be an encourager. I guess I could use that to do things for him. I've got a hobby that I play, and it's put me around other people. What's in your hand? Maybe it's a skill. Maybe it's a job. Maybe it's a place that's there. And when you think about all those things, I want to encourage you to do three things as we close, right? One, believe what he says. Just believe what God says. It's not about your ability. It's not about you. It's about him. It's about his strength. It's about his power. If God is in you, he can use you, right? If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, he can use you for his glory. He is with you, and he can even use your struggles. He can even use the hard times. And so instead of measuring ourselves by our limitations, we begin to look and say, you know what? I'm trusting in God's limitless power. I'm trusting in who he is. So we believe what he says. The second thing is we begin where we are. Sometimes we're waiting for the perfect moment. We're waiting for all these things. And we say, you know, I'll serve God when. Maybe if you've had that blank and instead of when, you just mark out, I'll serve God when, I'll serve God now. Right? Just I'll serve God now wherever I'm at. That's what God expects. Delayed obedience is disobedience. He says, what do you have? Where are you at? Right? That's the first thing, right? Bring what you have. So begin where you are. Bring what you have. What's in your hand? Right? At first, maybe Moses thinks about this staff and it reminds him of his past, the things that he's lost. Maybe it reminds him of his problems and how he became a shepherd and the mess that got him into this place. But this staff, it represented his potential and what was in his hand. God could use for incredible things. What's in your hand? You know, we had a Force for Good class that Tom led a few weeks back. And through that class, we asked some of these same kind of questions. What's in your hand? What could God use that you already have to bring him glory? What is around you? What is there? And I heard a story that just stirred my heart. A lady that was in that class said, you know, I've got a social media account. I've got a cell phone. We got coffee shops that are around our community. Man, they got places you can gather with people. You just go and it's, you know, they love to have you there, right? That lady said, you know what? I could do a Bible study. I could have a women's study. And on Thursday, after posting on social media, hey, I'm going to start a Bible study, a ladies' Bible study. I'd love for you to come out. After doing that for a couple of weeks, on Thursday, 12 ladies gathered with her for a Bible study. And guess how many she knew? Just one. And she just said, you know what? What do I have? This is what I've got. And I'm going to use it for the glory of God. What is it that's in your hand? What could God do in your life? Maybe it's your story. Maybe it's a kitchen where you say, you know what, I could prepare a meal. Maybe you have a home and you say, you know what, I could invite people into that place, a hobby, a skill, your workplace, a social media account, a phone. I mean, whatever those things are. Moses had a staff. David had a sling. The disciples had 5 loaves and 2 fish. But little is much when God is in it. God can take little things, little people, right? And those are the people that he uses. We don't want to come to the table going, hey, we've got all you need. You really need us for your team, right? We come saying, God, if you don't show up, like I'm not much. I'm a mess. I know who I am. But I just believe that you're who you say you are and that you can use me. And over, God's going to take something ordinary that was in Moses' hand and use it in incredible ways. And I just believe God wants to take what's in your hand. And I believe that he'll reveal that to you. What is it that's in your hand? I believe he wants to take it and do incredible things through you. God doesn't need your abilities. He needs and he desires your obedience. And he will equip those that he calls for the work that he's called them. And maybe you today just need to say, you know what, God, what's in my hand is yours. You know, we sung that it's your breath that's in my lungs that we sung that our God will never fail. We sung all those things. Maybe today some of us need to just say, God, I understand that what I have is yours, Lord. And maybe even more than that, who I am is yours. God, I surrender myself to you. And in God's hands, he can use you. He'll do great things through a people who will say, I recognize my weakness, but I believe and trust that he is strong. Would you be willing to step out in faith this week and say, you know what, I'm going to walk in obedience where God would call me. I'm going to invite the band to come. And as they move this way, I'm going to pray for us here in just a moment. If you would, just as they move, just bow your head and close your eyes as they come forward. Maybe you'd recognize that you know, your greatest need, that maybe you'd say, you know what, I know that God is able to do all things and keep saying that he can take whatever's in his hands and surrender to him and use them for his glory. Maybe there's something you wrote down on that paper, some excuse, some belief that the enemy has got you believing that God could not use you because of blank, and maybe you need to just surrender that. Maybe you, this morning you just need to say, God, I know this person that's in my life, and God, you've placed them near me, and they're far from you, and This morning, God, I pray you'd give me courage to take a step. Lord, not to continue to delay, but to begin to engage with them and to share your love, to maybe to invite them into my home, to do something, Lord, whatever you would call me to do. Lord, my hands are open. And I pray, God, you would direct me. Maybe some of you need to say, okay, God, what's in my hands? A workplace, a hobby, whatever those things are. God, I surrender it to you. And I pray, God, that you would use it for your glory. God, whatever I have is yours and I am yours. Maybe there's some of you this morning that have never really got to that place to recognize that Jesus entered into the midst of the brokenness of this world. He came into a sinful and broken world, living a life that we couldn't live without sin and dying a sinner's death in our place, knowing that our sin has separated us from a holy God. Nothing that we could do to earn our salvation or be made right with God. But maybe this morning you recognize that you've never surrendered your life to him, that you've been trying to live life your own way, trying to be good enough, trying to do certain things, maybe to earn a relationship with God. And this morning you realize, hey, it's nothing that I've done. It's all what Jesus has done. And you would look to that cross. You would look to what Jesus has done. And you'd say, you know what? I believe that what Jesus did on that cross, that it was in my place. And for the first time in my life, I surrender my life to him. My life is yours. You would confess that you're a sinner in need of a Savior and trust yourself into the hands of a loving God who gave himself for you. Maybe that's you. Maybe that's your response this morning. Just surrender of yourself, trusting Jesus for the first time. And for believers in this room, maybe it's just this recognition that if I have Jesus, I have enough, and I'll begin to walk in what he's called me to do. And so the question comes this morning, God. Maybe he speaks to all of us what's in your hand. And our response is surrender and obedience. God, we love you. We pray, God, that you'd meet us where we're at. God, if there's someone that needs to lay down something at this altar, God, we pray, Lord, even symbolically, Lord, they might even take that little sheet of paper, Lord, and just lay it down. God, we pray we would stand with open hands, ready to walk in your will, in your way. Not because of anything we've done, but because you, God, you've purchased us with a price. Our life is yours. And may that be the posture of our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Will you stand?